Hey friends, welcome to the Uncommon Cast. We are back in the treehouse and it's warm and smoky. We hope all of our listeners are well because now on top of pandemic, California is burning down. And we hope you guys are okay out there and safe. Again, if anyone ever needs anything and there's a way that we could be a part of helping, shoot us a message, please.
Before we get into our topic, I forgot about something really important that we need to mention.
Yes.
You guys, we're on the charts.
Yes. We are on the charts.
Cody got an email from people who track these things. And we are in the top 100.
We're in the top 100. Wait. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to, cheers to being 100. On the chart. This key lime sparkling water.
Religion and spirituality.
Top 100.
Where in what country?
The Ukraine. So this is, friends, no joke. To all of our Ukraine listeners, which
we're
I never
so
imagined.
Excited. Hi,
I
Ukraine
could say.
Friends.
Hey, so this is Ryan.
I'm Dawn.
I'm Cody.
Ukraine friends, thank you.
I guess we're big in Ukraine, guys.
I absolutely love it. There's people in Ukraine listening to us.
Now I want to burst your bubble that we're no longer listened to in Tuscany and Italy because the Clarks moved back and they're here.
Yay!
I know, but now we can't say we have Italian listeners.
Well, maybe we do. They might have shared it.
Yeah. Guys, we're on the charts.
We are on the charts.
We're on the charts. And because there must be something valuable in this podcast, and that was our prayer. So usually the way we do this and we figure out topics is we'll be talking throughout the weeks of going, let's talk about this. This seems to be a pulse with our people. This is a pulse with what's going on in our personal lives. And so let's share. We'll have guest speakers. But today we're doing something different. And I know Dawn and Cody are looking at me going, what is Ryan going to say? Because I said, you guys, let's not talk about anything. I have a topic that I don't want to tell you until we're live.
Which I love. I'm so excited.
You're the Enneagram 7 that loves this.
Yes, I can't wait. And Cody hates everything about it.
I don't hate everything about it. I am excited about it. I'm excited to talk. I just am a little nervous because I'm like, I don't know what it's going to be. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say.
Want me to tell you?
Yeah.
But before I do, we have some events coming up that we're super excited about. I'm keeping you guys.
I am fine. I'm fine. We are super excited about our events. We have an event coming up that actually is also a very 7 event. It's called Message and Morsels on the Move. And you guys, this is going to be really fun because it's basically an adult scavenger hunt. Kids can come too if they don't get bored in the car.
Right, let's give an understanding to an adult scavenger
hunt. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's totally family friendly. That's not what I meant by adult. But if your kids don't mind being in the car, then they could totally come.
And listening to a message when you're in a car. Because my kids, we wouldn't be able to hear anything. So
yeah.
Right.
We're going to get a sitter.
Right. But we are going to drive. You'll get a clue at the location, and then you'll drive to that location, and there will be another clue and a surprise and a message. And then you'll go to the next location, and there will be another clue and a surprise and a message. So it's going to be awesome.
And there's going to be good food at each one of the stops. Yes. You get some good food to sit in the car, listen, actually watch a message. We're going to have a three-part message on YouTube only for the people that arrive. It's going to be, what is it? It's like classified
YouTube channel.
Ooh, like
a private
channel.
Link, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to cut this out, but an adult event with a private link.
Welcome to our church.
It's an exclusive. You'll get a link that is exclusive to people who are attending the event to watch a video. And if you're hearing this before September 20th, you can register for this event on our website, uncommongoodsd.com/events.
And then we have right after that, too, because a lot of our listeners can't go to these things and we don't want to waste your time. But then we have a really cool Good Life event. Good Life is our elementary age focused kind of kids group community fun shenanigans. And we're going to create an event, like a drive-up event for the family that kids can run out and do things. But we're also keeping keeping you guys safe because science is real. And we want to abide by that and not, you know, cause division and problems. We just
want everybody to feel comfortable wherever you're at.
Yeah, and we want to see your faces too. So it's going to be awesome. So that Good Life event that we were just talking about is going to be on Thursday, the 24th. We'll get you guys information out on that, on how to sign up. So watch our channels, our emails, mm-hmm. and our social media shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And which leads us to this moment. You guys, we, all of us, and so many of our listeners are in this place of like homeschooling, whether you chose it or it was forced upon you. We are all feeling kind of thrashed by that. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. And so without any forethought, I thought it would be so good to start a podcast off with talking about coming to the table with nothing.
Oh, I like mm-hmm. that.
What do you have when you feel like you have nothing? Mm-hmm. And then what good can you be to anyone else when you arrive at a table feeling like you have nothing, and maybe your family, your kids, your colleagues, your friends are looking at you and you're like, dude, I got nothing. So go, you guys, talk yeah. about nothing. Talk oh, about the nothing you have.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that on a deep level. Just spent at the end of the day and then trying to do things like hang out with Jen after the kids go to bed. That's my wife for the Ukrainian listeners. hang out with Jen after the kids go to bed. And I'm just so, you know, usually I'm just like, I'm so tired. I'm just going to go to sleep, trying to get work done. Like, just feel like I'm coming to the table with nothing. But as you were talking about that, I thought of something that we've talked about a long time that you have mentioned. So much of life is just showing up and being mm-hmm. present. And so just keep showing up.
Oh, let me give context to that too. Years ago when I was just starting like my first job, giving up my vision for med school, and I took this full-time job in youth ministry. And there was an awesome pastor. His name was Walt Gerber. He was a past pastor of Menlo Church up in the Bay Area. And Walt Gerber met with some of us just young hooligans that they hired, you know, to do youth ministry. And he was in our apartment. And we were just kind of asking him for advice. He was retiring. And we're like, man, we hardly know you, but you were part of hiring us, and he obviously wanted to give us some time. And he sat in our apartment building, and his one nugget of wisdom after just hanging out with us, and why would he come hang out with us? He was like, hey, boys, I want you guys to know that 98% of ministry or 98% of living into what God is calling you to is just showing up. And he talked about just the consistency of commitment to show mm-hmm. up and trusting that God will do something with that, right? Yeah. Good, Cody. I'm glad you reminded me of that.
That, man, has that been true over the years? You know, like how many times have we found ourselves in a situation going, why am I here? what is happening right now? You know, but just being in that moment and being willing to be there. Oftentimes, we have said yes to things that maybe a lot of other people might have said no to just because of excitement or fun or because we tend to be up for anything. And so we have found ourselves over the years in a lot of weird situations that often we didn't know why we were there. And yet something amazing came out of it simply because mm-hmm. we showed up. Yeah. But when you said that topic first, I thought of a recent moment where it was actually recording a podcast, and I wasn't supposed to be there because we were interviewing somebody, and we had to do it at a specific time, and I couldn't be there at that time, I thought. And so Ryan and Cody had really been the ones planning this whole podcast, and I told them, like, look, I'll get there if I can, but I don't think I'm going to make it. So I wasn't really a part of the planning or the preparation. So fast forward.
That's right. You didn't know topics. You didn't know anything.
I didn't know the person's name. Okay. So we are going about the morning. It turns out the thing I was supposed to do got canceled. So I'm like, sweet, I can show up. Well, flash over to Ryan's life, and there was like this terrible accident, and he got stuck on the freeway. And so Cody and I show up to record, and Ryan's not there. And in fact, Ryan pretty much doesn't arrive until the end of the podcast.
Right.
And so there's this moment, Cody and I are sitting down. Cody's like doing all the tech setup, getting everything ready to go. And the person calls, like the Skype, like, we're going to start the interview. And all of a sudden I was like, oh shit. I don't know who this person is. I don't know what book they wrote. I don't even know their name. I am literally, that is the definition of coming to the table with nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And like, by the grace of God, we had like a technical issue with the call, and it blacked out. And so like in those 30 seconds, I look over at Cody and I'm like, Cody,
what's his name?
I need to Google him. And it turned out like to be this fascinating conversation, partly because like I came to the table with nothing. I had no preconceived notion. So I genuinely came to this conversation with nothing but curiosity, like genuine curiosity and excitement to find out who this person was. And I just got to ask interesting questions that allowed them to share who they were with us.
Yeah.
And because I had nothing, it wasn't about me trying to like guide this conversation somewhere. I just got to kind of be this facilitator for them to share this amazing journey that they had been on. And at the end of it, I remember Cody looking at me going, how did you create conversation out of that? And I was like,
I was super grateful that you did, because I was like, I know what we're supposed to talk about, but I don't know if I can lead this whole thing and like do the technical stuff. And like,
it was a lot, but we did it. And it turned out to be this amazing conversation that was this funny debacle of me coming to the table with nothing because I wasn't supposed to be there, and Ryan not being able to show up for something totally out of his control and unforeseeable. So that is what I think of with coming to the table with nothing.
I think there's an incredible nugget of truth in that. I think whenever we come to the table with something, we are focused on making that something happen, and our listening to the moment is absent.
Mm-hmm.
When we come to the table with nothing, when we feel like we don't have anything to offer, maybe it puts us in far more of a humble listening position in life to see where the moment will take you.
Yeah, like what's unfolding in front of you.
Totally. And to actually have faith that God will show up in your feeling of nothingness to bring something out of nothing.
Yes, because I oftentimes, I know for those of us who like speak for a living or whatever it is that you do for a living, you get to a point where you can rely on your skill set oftentimes.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you need to necessarily prep for something because you're like, I got this. You know, there's like a certain amount of prep, but there's a sense of like, I can do this. But when you are totally caught off guard and you are in a position of complete unpreparedness, there's nothing for you to rely on anymore. It's like, I literally just have to lean in and see what's going to unfold in front of me. I cannot control this train. I don't know where the track's leading. I'm just along for the ride right now, you know?
Which sounds a lot like 2020.
yeah. Yeah.
Like a lot. Yeah, it's crazy.
There's so much. So like as my mind is pinging on this. And by the way, I thought of this topic this morning, and then it was everything I could do to keep my mind from thinking about not adding to the nothing in my mind.
Yes.
Because then I get to pre-plan, and you guys didn't. And then I'm coming with something and not nothing. And so I, just a minute ago, said something about, like, that God wants to create something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting that in scripture, that is right where the Genesis story begins, mm-hmm. that in a chaotic, nothingless, that's formless and void, God speaks into that and brings beauty and form and structure and progression into what was nothingness and chaotic and void. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of our psyches in these times after homeschooling, even for a morning, and then trying to work in your career on top of that and to balance your relationships with friends that you don't see and all of those
things. Your relationship
things.
With your spouse that you see too much.
I think we all relate to chaos, void, formless,
nothingness.
And nothingness. And that God can speak into that and bring something beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the echoing of that in scripture in the New Testament, where it talks about, Paul's talking about that it's in our weakness, actually, that we experience God's strength and goodness. Mm-hmm. So in our weakness, we will see that he is strong, because we actually lean. We actually have those humble moments in life right now, mm-hmm. when you're exhausted and feeling like you have nothing, that you actually reach out to be dependent upon something else other than yourself.
And the fascinating thing, as I was listening to you talk about that, is it's actually a pattern that is repeated over and over and over and over in the story of what God has been doing in the world. That there's chaos, and then out of that chaos, God does something unexpected and new. And then there's chaos, and then out of that chaos, God does something unexpected and new. Right? Like, I think of the story of Jonah and the whale, and whether we think that story is allegorical or historical, like, I don't really care. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, the point is, like, what God was saying is, when everything is confusing and you feel like you're in the belly of a whale, which I feel like is a pretty good metaphor for 2020. It's stinky,
dark.
And
I don't
it's
know where
dark.
I'm going.
It's generally, like, damp and gross. I feel that feeling of 2020.
Add a smoky essence to that.
That's right. Yeah. But then God does something unexpected and new out of that. You look at, like, the Israelites wandering through the desert. Like, what a shitty time. What a horrible time to be alive. And then God does something unexpected and new. And I think what I don't want you to hear is that God does awful things so that he can do something new. What I want you to hear is that awful things happen because of life and because of human error and because of just kind of the trajectory that our world is on. Bad things happen. But when those things happen, if we keep leaning in, God does something unexpected and new. And it's mm-hmm. often when we least expected it.
Mm-hmm. The Redeemer happen. Bringing value out of what was discarded or seen as not valuable, you know, bringing that good out of something that was bad. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we've all seen that in our lives time and time again. I mean, my whole life story from 10 years old on is God bringing good things out of really horrible things. So, yeah, he does it.
Yeah.
So this makes me think, too. I think when we get to a point where things are hard and we're disoriented, I know we've talked in a previous podcast about the cycle of you're oriented in life. Everything's making sense. Everything's going according to plan. Right. Crisis happens.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're disoriented.
Yep. You don't know what is up.
Everything's confusing. You don't know how to make sense of stuff. And then slowly you sort through it. Some time goes by. Some thought goes by. And now you're reoriented. Mm-hmm. So we have this cycle in life of orientation, disorientation,
right.
reorientation. Mm. And in these times of feeling like you have nothing, it is very easy to look back and to go, I only wish that I could go back to when I had something. Mm-hmm. Like you talked about the Israelites. They were out in the desert wandering towards a way better future. But their hope in the midst of crisis was actually fading to looking back and rather taking on slavery for something that wasn't near as good, but was actually tangible. And so they were looking back, wishing they had what was, rather than continuing the energy of hope that led them to a better future. And honestly, you guys, I feel that. In these nothing moments, I look back. I know we've all taken steps in our ministry path, our following God path, where there were probably times where we had a lot more, made a lot more, and what we did made a lot more sense. And you look back in that and go, that is attractive when you're feeling confused and nothing and like the resources are gone.
But you know what? It's not only because that thing was tangible, it's because it was a known quantity. Even if it was garbage, even if it was slavery, even if we left work every day being like, I hate this, and I feel disgusting on the inside, right? Like whatever that was like for you. You left something that was known, whether it was taken from you or you intentionally left, and you started a journey towards something that was unknown. And there is something about us that hates the unknown. Like we would rather have something awful but known than something hopeful but unknown. Like very recently we had our neighbors move, and our neighbors were great. They were a very colorful bunch. Okay. But they're the types of neighbors, like they would totally have your back, but also they're going to fight loudly in the middle of the street. That's just, you know, what it was. But it was known, you know what I mean? Like we knew how to navigate the intricacies of that chaos. And then all of a sudden they moved and we were like, oh my gosh, what if something worse happens, right? And that's always what we think about. Not like, this could be better. Because let me tell you of the unknown hope that moved in across the street. Fernando and his taco truck moved in across the street. Okay, let's talk about an unknown hope. Our new neighbor owns a taco truck, and we're not mad about it. And we met them for the first time. He's lovely, and he offered to help us chop down our tree. So all's looking up. But there's always this moment in like the disorientation where you're like, what I have sucks, but it could be worse. And at least I know the suckiness that I have now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we never go, what I have sucks, and there's something better for me out there. We very rarely do that, right?
Yeah, but oh my gosh. So let's just make note of this now. Fernando, your tacos, future events.
Yes.
I hear that we need to get some tacos.
Yes.
Next time I come over.
But isn't it, it's so interesting. It doesn't take much energy to go throughout your day when everything is known.
Yeah.
Right? But
absolutely.
What does take energy is faith and hope. And so when you show up at the table again with nothing, you may not feel like you have the energy to hope that something good is going to come out when you're feeling empty.
Yeah, or that you have anything, you could even muster anything good.
So here's a paradox of this relationship with God. It takes energy to hope. But in your weakness, when you don't even have the energy to hope, God is there to meet you and say, I can bring something out of nothing.
Right.
Lean into me and I will be your energy. Lean into me and I will be the one who moves this forward. So you can show up with nothing and something's going to come out of it because of the small place of faith that you didn't even think you had the energy to live into.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And let me tell you, if you are the kind of person that the unknown is scarier than the sucky present, take the step forward. because I can tell you, as somebody who has lived like that, and I've gone back and forth from being the kind of person that wants to know everything and have everything planned out, and I've also been the type of person in my life that I'm just like, go with the flow and everything's going to be fine. And I can say that in these last few years, stepping out into the unknown, it was exciting. And then at times it was scary, but the journey has been so much more exciting, stepping into what God has, stepping into what God is doing. I feel like it's worth it to step out into the unknown, even when it seems like the unknown might be scary and unstable, but it's so worth mm-hmm. it. So step out.
And even when you feel like you have nothing.
Yeah.
Or you'll be left with nothing.
Yeah.
You know?
Leaning forward into nothing mm-hmm. is probably a better picture of faith than a lot of the ways mm-hmm. we put structures upon
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's right.
I heard a message this last week which made me think, too, this would be a fun question for us to talk about at the closing of this showing up with nothing. I heard a message where at the very end, the man who is really encouraging a relationship with God just merely said, you know, all you need to say in this prayer is, God, here I am. Here's my life. Let's start this faith, because I'm feeling, in our context, say empty or nothing. And I thought about that a lot, because I think over the years, I know we have lots of history with Christianity and the church and camps and institutions. Sometimes we make that prayer really complex to start faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us would say, well, here's the essentials. You need these top three essential things in that prayer to start your faith, right? Some would say, well, first of all, you need to realize you're depraved, right? You need that you need that admission, then you need forgiveness, mm-hmm. and then you need to start that faith. I don't know. What do you guys think? What is the essential thing you need to start faith in a God who wants to show up and bring something out of your nothingness?
Mm. I would say you need almost nothing. Even because I would say you don't even have to say, here I am. I think you could even start with I don't even know who I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what is out there, but there's something about, like, it's not even a step towards faith. It's almost just like an inclination onto your toes a little bit. You know how, like, when you're standing still, you're flat footed, and then, like, right before you take a step, you just kind of lean forward a little bit. You shift your weight. It's almost simply just a shifting of the weight. Like,
I like that.
What's out there? Something in me might be receptive to there being something bigger than me.
Yeah, I like that. It also makes me think of something that we've talked about in the Reclaim curriculum with the Table Network, of just the idea of coming and allowing God to do the work. You think mm-hmm. about the Pharisee and the tax collector coming to the temple. And we've talked about this plenty of times before, but this is what it reminds me of. The Pharisee comes with lots of things to bring to the table, right? Mm-hmm. They have all kinds of, I've done this, I'm this way, I'm so righteous in all these ways. And then the tax collector comes beating his chest saying, forgive me, Lord, for I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. And that's what he comes with. And that's essentially nothing. And yet the point of that story is to show that the tax collector is the one that is more righteous in that moment. And it's not about righteousness. It's not about who's holier. The point being that God honors those who come to the table with nothing and allow him to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to do the work. You don't have to put forth the effort to make yourself righteous or holy or anything like that. God is going to do the work. And I think that this whole conversation reminds me of that sort of undoing of what we think mm-hmm. of the striving and the things that we do in our own efforts to make ourselves, you know, closer to God or holier people.
The earning of God's love.
Yeah, it's he does it. And it's just up to us to be receptive to the work he's going to do.
You know what makes me think of? Something that Ryan and I will relate to on a deep level. The dentist. Because Ryan and I will routinely avoid the dentist because we haven't gone to the dentist. And so it's this cyclical problem of not going to the dentist because you're pretty sure your teeth are jacked up. And so you're like, well, I have to wait until my teeth are better to go to the dentist to get my teeth fixed.
Think of the sense that makes. By the way, Cody's in the same boat, too.
I am.
Are you? For sure. I didn't know this about you, Cody.
Totally. And then the time goes by.
And you're like, well, and you're 6 months, now you're I don't think my teeth are better.
To go to the dentist.
Now it's really bad.
I actually have a disdain for the dentist because they always tell me that there's something wrong. And I'm like, you're wrong. No,
you're wrong.
I don't need to spend that money on that special treatment.
Here's a full admission. Right. When that time goes by and I'm embarrassed that I haven't got my teeth cleaned or checked for a long time.
Yes.
I'll get a new dentist.
Yes.
Because then you're embarrassed to go to the last dentist, right? Totally. You need a new cleaner. Someone who's not going to, you need to
go to somebody just for the cleanup and then you can go back to your old dentist.
Yes. This is a real human thing, guys.
This is a thing.
People don't talk about this.
We're just here admitting things to you.
I approach it a little different, but I resonate with this.
How did that relate, Donna?
Because Cody was saying how oftentimes we feel like we can't come to the table jacked up.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Totally.
And that made me think of the dentist. Like, we feel like there's work that needs to be done in us before we are ready to come to the table or shift our heart inclination approach God or whatever that is. You don't
clean up before you go to the cleaner.
Right.
The cleaner's there to clean your dirty teeth. Dude.
But we're still embarrassed.
You don't wash your car before you go to the car wash.
Oh, right. Man. But we're still embarrassed and are shamed and want to hide our dirtiness. In our mouth dirtiness.
Our mouth dirtiness.
Hide your dirty mouth.
So what it comes down to is if you just have that inclination, which could be, it may not even, it's the smallest spark of saying, God, you're that, I'm this. There's a big gap in between
I don't know what to do about it. I actually can do nothing about it.
I have nothing to, can you do something with this? And maybe for all of us right now that are feeling empty, that are feeling tired, that are feeling like we're coming to the table with nothing, the greatest place of faith is to just look up, close your eyes, say, God, can you do something with this? Mm-hmm. Because there's a great humility in that. There's an awareness that God is something that you're not. And there's an awareness of dependence upon something greater. And that humility is the quintessence of faith. I don't even know if I used that word right. Quintessence.
Is that a word?
Quintessentialness.
Quintessence.
That
I would
humility,
love it. Let's look it up.
That start. Ding, 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 ding. Is the beginning of the faith that brings something out of nothing. And so there's something there, guys.
And just keep showing up.
Yeah.
Keep showing up.
Even if you feel like you're probably a hot mess, show up anyways. Mm-hmm. Even if you got nothing, just show up anyways.
We're going to make a t-shirt that just says yes to the hot mess.
Yes to the hot mess.
Keep showing up.
Showing up. Yes to the
that's
hot
better.
Mess. I mean, yeah.
Well, we're at the end of the podcast. Right. I think something came from nothing.
Yeah.
Which honestly, with your brains, I knew it would, you guys. And
yeah, that was fun.
So, yeah, we didn't pre-plan even who's going to close us out.
No, but we do want to remind you. Well, Cody wants to remind us where to find us on socials.
Socials.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about those events earlier, and the place I want to direct you most right now is uncommongoodsd.com/events. We're excited that we have some events coming up, and we want you to go check out the information about that. Even if you can't make it to these ones, just keep an eye on that page because we're going to be having some more coming up. Again, that's September 20th for Morsels and Message on the Move, and September 24th.
That's a Sunday and a Thursday.
And that second one is the Good Life drive-through fun for families. And so we would love to see you there. If you're listening to this afterwards, go check out our events. Go check out our events page to see what's going on right now. All right, love you guys. You are loved, you are valued, and you belong. I gotta tell you guys that, like, I do approach the dentist a little different, and I feel like during this podcast recording, I was having a moment in my heart realizing what kind of person I am, because you guys are like, I'm ashamed, and I'm gonna try to clean myself up before, and I go in, and I'm like, and they're like, hey, you know, you've got problems with your teeth, and I can, you know, you really need to be flossing. I'm like, I do floss. It's just been a long time because you guys charge too much money.
But Cody, you need a deep cleaning.
I don't need a deep cleaning. I can't afford that. Maybe if you guys didn't charge so much money, I would come more often. It's your fault. And I'm just having this realization that, like, my lack of my own tooth care, I'm like putting it on the dentist as it being their fault. That's not
guys,
good. That's
we're
not
just
good.
Realizing things over here.
Just, yeah.
Just 2020 is the year of realizing things.